Now turn to part three. You'll hear five different history teachers talking about how they make their classes interesting. For questions 19 to 23, choose from the list A to F what each speaker says. Use the letters only once. There is one extra letter which you do not need to use. You now have 30 seconds to look at part three. Speaker 1.
My lessons are a mixture of fun and practicality, which starts with arranging the desks in a gentle curve round the whiteboard. I want students to think of history as more than just a lot of names. I hope I make it come alive for them. I often borrow my students' ideas. I pick up on a good point they are making and I thank them for it. It's a habit with me. I think it goes back to the encouragement that my sister and I got from our parents. If you do that, they'll want to give you something in return by being involved.
Speaker 2.
Most teachers say that young people spend too much time in front of a screen and don't read enough at home, which is true. But in my classroom, you can often hear well-known tunes precisely from things that they all watch at home. For my students, those things mean a lot and can really add a spark. For example, I use the tune of a well-known detective series to signal to the students that they should open their books and start reading. And another piece means that they should write down their answer to a question. It's not difficult, and you don't need lots of computers or high-tech equipment.
Speaker 3.
I work with students of varying abilities, and I know that not everyone is crazy about history. Each student needs something from me. So that means each lesson has to have a variety of approaches. For example, I may need to help a student who is struggling to understand an article they found on the internet. Or once, I had a student who was really keen on the history of art, so I got hold of some beautifully illustrated history books, which really sparked his imagination and prevented him from getting bored.
Speaker 4.
Learning history is not all about remembering hundreds of facts and dates, because you soon forget all that. I try to find ways to relate the history lesson I'm teaching to something interesting in the local area, so my students will go to museums or libraries and find bits of information and write reports on them. Sometimes they will use the net at home, or they will interview their grandparents or other people they know well. My students tell me they never do anything boring in my lessons, and they often discover talents they never knew they had.
Speaker 5.
Some teachers make everything sound easy, and they believe students will like history that way. I'm of a different opinion. If, for example, a student comes to me with an extract from a book they cannot understand, I encourage them to look at it again. I don't immediately give them my interpretation or try to make it simple for them. And I treat weak and strong students in the same manner. I know that if I don't make activities challenging, they won't learn. And my students are always keen to take part. Even when they are tired, they participate with enthusiasm.
Now you'll hear part three again. Speaker 1.
My lessons are a mixture of fun and practicality, which starts with arranging the desks in a gentle curve round the whiteboard. I want students to think of history as more than just a lot of names. I hope I make it come alive for them. I often borrow my students' ideas. I pick up on a good point they are making and I thank them for it. It's a habit with me. I think it goes back to the encouragement that my sister and I got from our parents. If you do that, they'll want to give you something in return by being involved.
Speaker 2.
Most teachers say that young people spend too much time in front of a screen and don't read enough at home, which is true. But in my classroom, you can often hear well-known tunes precisely from things that they all watch at home. For my students, those things mean a lot and can really add a spark. For example, I use the tune of a well-known detective series to signal to the students that they should open their books and start reading. And another piece means that they should write down their answer to a question. It's not difficult, and you don't need lots of computers or high-tech equipment.
Speaker 3.
I work with students of varying abilities, and I know that not everyone is crazy about history. Each student needs something from me, so that means each lesson has to have a variety of approaches. For example, I may need to help a student who is struggling to understand an article they found on the internet. Or once, I had a student who was really keen on the history of art, so I got hold of some beautifully illustrated history books, which really sparked his imagination and prevented him from getting bored.
Speaker 4.
Learning history is not all about remembering hundreds of facts and dates, because you soon forget all that. I try to find ways to relate the history lesson I'm teaching to something interesting in the local area, so my students will go to museums or libraries and find bits of information and write reports on them. Sometimes they will use the net at home, or they will interview their grandparents or other people they know well. My students tell me they never do anything boring in my lessons, and they often discover talents they never knew they had.
Speaker 5.
Some teachers make everything sound easy, and they believe students will like history that way. I'm of a different opinion. If, for example, a student comes to me with an extract from a book they cannot understand, I encourage them to look at it again. I don't immediately give them my interpretation or try to make it simple for them. And I treat weak and strong students in the same manner. I know that if I don't make activities challenging, they won't learn. And my students are always keen to take part. Even when they are tired, they participate with enthusiasm.
That's the end of part 3.